prophecy will surely be fulfilled. As the Savior left the earth that day when he ascended, so he'll come again, the Father.
Right. Let us turn this morning to the first chapter of Colossians. Colossians 1. This is our first Sunday, our communion Sunday. Let us begin with verse 19. For it pleased the Father that in him, that is in Christ, should all fullness dwell. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven, and you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now has he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. I want to speak this morning, verse 20, the blood of his cross. There are many roles, many purposes, many accomplishments of the blood of redemption. We are cleansed by the blood, as we read in 1 John 4:7, that the blood of Christ cleanses us from all sin. Revelation 7:14 speaks of those who washed their robes and they were white, washed white in the blood of the Lamb. We are redeemed by the blood, as we find we are bought with a price, even the precious blood of Jesus. The blood is life-giving. As Jesus said, whoso eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life. We are protected by the blood. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. Here in our text, we find that peace comes through the blood. He made peace through the blood of his cross. We have found over the years that peace is really twofold. There is the peace of God, and there is the peace with God. The peace of God is wonderful for us as Christians. I often explain it this way. We are able to have the same peace that God has. I describe it this way. Is there anything you think that God is concerned or worried about? Is there anything that God is anxious about, that God would wring his hands about as though there were no way out and didn't know what to do next? And the answer is no. God can give us that same peace, as the scripture says in Philippians, that passes all understanding. It's beyond the intellect, but I want to notice it was purchased, it was bought by the blood of Jesus. Then there's the peace with God, and this is the one that I want to enlarge on just a little bit today. The peace with God. Verse 20, having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself. That is the same terminology. That is the same thought that would be used in peace with God. There are different expressions. Ephesians 2:14, we read that he, that is Christ, is our peace, who hath made both one and has broken down the middle wall of partition between us. He's talking about the peace that God has wrought between Jew and Gentile. We know that Israel as a nation will be reconciled unto God. Peace with God. Heaven and earth were separated from God at the fall of Satan and of Adam. But God says in the scripture, I will make a new heaven and a new earth. Indeed, reconciled, or peace with God. But this morning, I want to become much more personal than that. Verse 21, and you. This is what we want to speak of to make this peace personal in our own lives. You that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, and that includes every one of us, because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All have been guilty of these acts which separated us indeed from God. And so we find, yet now has he recognized or reconciled in the body of his death through his flesh through death. Then we come to the second part of this. Every time and any time a sinner will believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, in that moment of time he is born again, he is safe forevermore. Nothing can separate him as he is partaken of that blood of Christ unto eternal life. But notice the separation in Christians, and this is what I want to emphasize in our hearts today, because we are reconciled through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. I can tell you that not all Christians are going to attain unto that place. All Christians will, by authority of God's word, be in heaven, but all Christians are not going to be preserved unblameable and blameless in his sight. And the reason is because that great big if in verse 23. We can have this place if you continue in the faith. This is where the church is falling apart today. They're not continuing in the faith. There are so many denying the fullness of God's word. That's the problem. Men will not listen to the word of God. They will take the standards of men for righteousness and morality rather than what God is saying. If you continue in the faith is all of the complement of the Word of God. And if we are not engaged in it, we are not going to be presented blameless. if you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel. Now, the hope of the gospel is the hope of all of the gospel. And that includes the hope of the coming of the Lord. John tells us that you are purified by this hope. If we don't have that hope, the hope of Jesus coming, uppermost in our minds and our hearts, we are not going to have the anchor that we need and the purification that God will bring forth in our experience. And so as long as you're not whole, you're not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which you have heard, which was preached to every creature, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. I want to enlarge on this wonderful blood, which has made it possible that we could have this kind of reconciliation. Let's turn back to the 53rd chapter of Isaiah. Isaiah 53. Isaiah is preaching the same message that Paul did whenever he was talking about that the peace that is purchased by the blood of his cross. Isaiah 53:5. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. And it is this same truth, the chastisement of our peace. Peace through the blood of his cross. This chastisement is very interesting here, and I want to notice it. The word means chastise with blows. It means to punish. It means to bind, restrain, rebuke. There are several words I want to point out in these few verses, which explain to us exactly what that chastisement actually is and what it meant to Christ. You'll notice in verse 4, griefs. It means calamity. It means disease or sickness. We find also sorrows, meaning pain or sorrow, to mar. He was stricken. It means to strike, to beat, or to punish. Smitten means to beat or to kill, to slaughter. It means oppressed. All of these are the things that happened unto the Lord Jesus Christ himself. All of this laid upon him. Verse 5, he was wounded. That word means to bore. That is like you drill down into something as boring into the depths of it, even as God bore down into the very depths of the Lord Jesus as he hung on the cross. It means to dissolve. It means to profane, just as Jesus was profaned, or he was made sin for us there on the cross of Calvary. Bruised means to beat to pieces, means to crush, to destroy. The word stripes means he was bound with stripes. It means multiple blows, bruising, hurting. This is where I want to point out the difference in some of the things that happened to Jesus here in this chapter. If you will back up to let's begin with verse 1. Who has believed our report? To whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? He shall grow up before him as a tender plant, to root out of dry ground. He's no former comeliness. Notice this. When we shall see him, there's no beauty that we should desire him. He's despised, rejected of men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. We hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised. We esteemed him not. But when we get to verse 4, notice the difference. It says, he carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God. This is what I want to point out in these verses and the meanings of these names. Sometimes people think the beating that Jesus took with the Roman scourge is what it means here, by his stripes ye were healed. But that's not what the scripture teaches. Those stripes were painful and, of course, just absolutely humiliating. And we are told that the stripes of the Roman scourge could actually kill a person, and God did not allow that to happen. The stripes that we are talking about, brought out in the meanings of all of these words, are those things that were actually inflicted by God. What was inflicted by man had no redemptive value. It is what God did to Jesus. This is the part that we are talking about here. The chastisement of our peace that is on him is the chastisement that God inflicted upon him. It is so very important to understand that. Notice a few more words which we find here concerning Christ and what had happened to him. Verse 7, the word oppressed, it means to drive as an animal or a workman. And it speaks of Christ, who was absolutely driven by the will of God. He couldn't do anything else if he's going to submit completely unto the will of his Father. The word afflicted, it means to browbeat. All of this affliction, all of these stripes, were inflicted by God. Back up to verse 4. He was smitten of God. Verse 6. The Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all. Verse 10. It pleased the Lord to bruise him. Also verse 10. He has put him to grief. Also in verse 10. Thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says it this way, He hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin. And then you will notice this same thought of reconciliation Paul brings out in that verse, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. It was God who brought all of this terror, all of this horror, all of these things upon Jesus. We have said again and again that whenever man placed Jesus on the cross, his day was over. His time was over. Now then, all of this was just between God and his Son. And I pointed out it was God and his Son and not the Father and his Son, because the Father had to turn away. The Father absolutely couldn't look upon his Son. And so God completely left Jesus on the cross by himself in order to accomplish this glorious redemption, in order to buy the peace that you and I have today. The chastisement of our peace was upon him through the blood of his cross, the life that he shed there on Calvary. The beauty of this is that the day of reconciliation is coming. We glory in that. The day of reconciliation is here. You and I are living in some of the most momentous times that have ever come upon this world. I hear a lot of the reports from Christianity. There are many people that are pointing out the fact that judgment is coming on this world. I will not argue that one iota. I would like to put our hearts in a different vein, though. Men can preach that judgment is coming to America. And believe me, they are right. We are seeing the manifestation of the outline Jesus gave in Matthew 24. We are seeing that in an unprecedented fashion. The critic says these things have always happened. They've always been here. Why, even Solomon said there's nothing new under the sun. All of that is right. But I will give you a clue. The world has never seen these things with the frequency and the intensity that we are seeing today. It hasn't happened. Beloved, we're on the verge of the coming of Jesus. Now that's going to mean judgment, I know. But I don't want to concentrate on judgment. I want to concentrate on deliverance. There are enough who are trying to talk about judgment. Again, I will not argue with them. But if we are presented blameless before God, the Scripture says we can be out of here before the judgments even really fall. Now, I have to be honest with you. I never did think that God's people, especially the first rank, would reach a place where we are seeing in our day the things that are happening. The ungodly persecution of Christians, even in our own country, I never thought I would see it. But it just simply tells you, Jesus is coming so very quickly. That's what we need to get out of this world. Brother Smith said it this way. I remember it so well, so many years ago. If the coming of Jesus doesn't strike fear in your heart, if it rather strikes gladness that you're going to be taken out, you have nothing to worry about. But if you are concerned that unless somebody does something to save this country and the world, we're in deep trouble. If you're taking that place, then I fear you are in deep trouble. Our hearts better be centered on being delivered out of this world before those days come. And so let's go down in closing this message. Verses 11 and 12 speak again of the reconciliation. He's reconciled all things unto himself. I guarantee he is going to have them. They are going to be his. We have already said that the first rank, known as the bride of Christ, will escape out of this world before the judgments of the tribulation fall. We're in the beginning of sorrows. That's why we are seeing them. It's just that I have to admit those sorrows are a whole lot more intense than I ever thought they would be. Someone may suggest, as they did to the Thessalonians, well, maybe you already came and went. No, Paul wrote 2 Thessalonians to assure us that hasn't happened. Man of sin hadn't been revealed yet. So many things. I hope I comfort your hearts today by saying no. Jesus hasn't come yet, but I guarantee you he is right at the door. And this is what we need to be aware of in our experience. Let's read again verse 10. Because this is the basis for the peace that God gives to us. Verse 10. Again, it pleased the Lord. He's the one that was responsible for all of this. He put him to grief. Thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin. he shall see his seed. The seed he's talking about is the seed of the new creation. All of the new creation will be in heaven with Jesus, regardless of when they arrive. But we know that indeed he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days. I guess they are eternal. This is what Jesus has provided for us, eternal life in Christ. The pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. And the pleasure of the Lord, if you read what happens after the judgment, throughout the millennium and on into eternity, yes, sir, it is going to be at the pleasure of the Lord, and it will prosper in his hand. He shall see of the travail of his soul. All of this travail that is portrayed here in Isaiah 53 and these other places throughout the scripture, Jesus is going to realize the full reward, the full reconciliation of what he has done. He shall see the travail of his soul. He shall be satisfied. I can tell you his greatest satisfaction and joy will be in his bride that is described in Ephesians 5. But he will be satisfied on all of those who have believed on him and taken their place indeed under the blood of the Lamb. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many. He shall bear their iniquities. Therefore, I will divide him a portion with the great. He shall divide the spoil with the strong. This is a picture of Jesus' ministry during the millennial period when he is the chief and he is the head. And Israel has become the head of the nations in this world. All of this, keep in mind, is because that Christ went to the cross, and we see here that he has provided this peace through the blood of his cross. He shall divide a portion with the great, divide the spoil with the strong. And it closes, Isaiah closes this glorious chapter, because it is because of this Christ who was willing to offer himself for us. Because he hath poured out his soul unto death. He was numbered with the transgressions, made sin for us. He bore the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. Jesus has provided it all for you and I to have this full complement. So I just ask you today, how much peace do you want? Do you want the peace of just knowing that you are in heaven with Jesus? Or do you want the peace of knowing I can reign with Christ and be blameless before him? That is our choice. And indeed, God is able to see to it that we get that glorious place in Christ Jesus. This is such a wonderful subject, an exciting subject. And if you are listening to me today, I really pray that you will be feeling this marvelous peace in your heart for the coming of the Lord, rather than fear and dread that Jesus is coming. You can judge your own condition. This is where we can evaluate ourselves. When someone mentions the coming of Christ, does it strike joy or fear in my heart? If it strikes fear, we better be doing something about it, changing the path of our lives and really digging in to this glorious hope of the coming of the Lord. This is the day, every first Sunday, that we comply with what Jesus said. As oft as you do this, that is this communion service, as oft as you do it in remembrance of me. And this is what we are doing today, remembering Christ. And in this instance, let's just let the power of the Holy Ghost overshadow our hearts and minds to remember what Jesus did in order to buy this peace, this deliverance that God has brought unto us.